It is time for this week in the Lakeville Journal, a time where we get together and we take a look. And I always like to preface this to everybody. The stories that we cover and we talk about are just a portion of what you'll find in the Lakeville Journal. It's a nice way to get together and chat with our fellow media members, and hopefully they're all on board right now. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you, John? How are you, Janet?
Good. How are
I'm
you?
I'm great. How are you, Janet?
Good.
We're all set for the 4th of July weekend.
Yes, coming right up.
As set as one can be, anyway. Well, let's go right to the front page. And this is a great story with what's going on with the Supreme Court right now and in courts in general and what happened with the women's rights. And the story on Catherine Rohrbach, how she was very crucial for women's rights in the 1960s.
Yes, we have a story on the front page about Catherine Rohrbach, who was a local civil rights lawyer back in the 60s, who worked assiduously for two decades, really, on women's rights. And she is really famous for establishing women's rights to use contraceptives in a landmark case in 1965 against up in the Supreme Court. It was known as Griswold v. Connecticut. And it essentially set a lot of the foundation for what became Roe v. Wade. We have a great long story about how she got herself involved in this and brought a case against the state for trying to prevent any kind of... The state at the time had a full contraception ban, even for women whose lives were, you know, possibly imperiled by the pregnancy. So in 65, she won a 7-2 case. Names from the past like William Douglas and Arthur Goldberg came down on her side. And then in 72, she won another case that was also at the relative to anti-abortion statutes in Connecticut. So now, you know, Connecticut is one of those states where you can still, we're still exempt from the federal ruling.
Well, it's interesting, and you've got a story right next to it from the Connecticut Mirror about Connecticut, not only Connecticut now, but Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York are all gearing up to potentially bring in people that can't get abortions in other states, and they're even looking at laws to prevent other states from being able to sue people. The Supreme Court decision has opened up just an amazing can of worms on so many different levels. With states doing this, it really is a mess right now. There's going to be thousands of more lawsuits undoubtedly because of this.
Right. This story you're talking about is a story that tells how the Planned Parenthood of Southern New England has already, before the ruling even came out, has already begun to get patients from as far away as Texas coming here to seek this service, and it's really, really quite a surge. The Connecticut General Assembly in April passed a very sweeping bill strengthening our state's abortion laws, but it's still something to, as Catherine Rohrbach continued to say in her life, something to keep fighting for. One thing I'll say is that this story about the statewide surge is a little bit of an expansion of our coverage area. We stick to the northwest corner, but this is a statewide story, and we have partnered with Connecticut Mirror to do some stories with them.
I think it's a wise decision. We do the same thing here. We cover it locally, but when a national issue or an international issue comes to home, there's nothing like having a company and somebody that can help you cover that when we're out here in the hinterlands, and it's not always possible to cover everything that goes on statewide or even nationwide. So I think that's a wise move by the Journal to do this affiliation. You know, it's funny when we talk about the abortion law and what happened with the Supreme Court, it's come down to cases like this in New York State. New York State is planning on advertising in Texas on both TV, radio, and in newspapers about being able to perform abortions. This will open up a First Amendment case that will eventually wind up probably at the Supreme Court if Texas does like they say they're going to do and not allow those ads. So it's going to be very interesting to see on what different levels the ripple effects from this court ruling have.
Yeah, and that brings up the fact that it's, you know, those who can afford to take that trip from Texas to New York will benefit from seeing those ads and will be able to access their reproductive rights and have abortions. But and this was a big point that Catherine Rohrabach made in her battles for rights for contraceptive rights. And she made the point that it was the poor women who paid the price and who could not access care no matter what, and did not have the ability to take advantage of this kind of nationwide offering of healthcare.
And that's another thing, Janet, that is also being developed across the country in different organizations, fundraising for those women who don't have the means. And once again, that is a case where Texas said they will go after those companies as well. So there's a myriad of lawsuits that are about to come from this, and we'll see how it all plays out. But it should play out, if you're a true conservative, that states should have the rights to do what they want to do without the federal government infringing on those rights. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's going to change our society.
Yep, absolutely. Let's move down right below that, and that is the story on the Kent Affordable Housing Plan, as they are looking at the needs of having young adults and families and local workers to live in the community.
Yes, this is another in a continuing series that we're doing on affordable housing in the towns. And in this case in Kent, they are specifically focusing right now on young adults, young families, as well as options for people who work in the town. We all are aware of the fact that you may have a job in Kent, but you may not be able to afford to live in that town. So you have to travel quite a ways just to get to your job. And according to Kent officials, there are about 460 households in Kent who are really under 80% of the area median income. And while they may not all be eligible, there are waiting lists. There's a long waiting list at Templeton Farms for 79 seniors are sort of hoping to get in there. There's a 28 people on the waiting list at the Stewart Farm in South Commons apartment complex. So we're also covering another one of these affordable housing proposals tonight in Salisbury. But the thing that surfaced at the Kent Housing hearing was interesting because some of the folks were complaining about what would the impact be if the housing was created, and one of the respondents who was sort of proposing this and working on it noted that back in the 70s when there was a proposal for affordable housing, there were complaints, but now some of the people who are complaining today don't seem to recognize that their parents now live in some of that housing. It's definitely a need.
Yep. Let's go on to something a little bit different. A story by Patrick Sullivan. The East-West Railroads, how it changed the Northwest Corner with Dick Paddock.
This is a great story. This we all know that there are railroad tracks all around the Northwest Corner that have been pulled up. Now we have rail trails, but Paddock is a historian and author and spoke the other night about the history of the East-West Railroad and how it changed the Northwest Corner. And it is really filled with wonderful anecdotes Patrick has a gift for telling stories. And so this is a really sweet story about how there used to be seven railroads running through Connecticut, including the Housatonic from Bridgeport to Pittsfield. That's northwest. Then there was this east-west railroad. And he tells a couple of fun stories about how there were many stations along the way. So some stations you would start out, you know, in here in Salisbury, and by the time you got to Hartford, there would be, you know, 1,000 passengers on a dozen cars. And it would just be the only way you could get from here to there. Also, little things, little anecdotes, such as a man who reported his wife missing, and turned out that farmhand was missing as well, and then they showed up in, I believe it was Millerton, getting married. So they took the train. So they took the train and apparently committed bigamy at the same time.
Two birds with one stone. While we're talking about the old times, let's bring it up to the new times. Once again, on page A2, you also put across the fact once again about your online tricornernews.com and a couple of stories that you have posted there as well.
Yes, we are leveraging our online to we realize that a lot of people do read it online, and so there are some stories that given our current space, we can't run everything, but these two stories, one is Kent has allotted some federal ARPA funds, and as we all know, the ARPA funds, the American Rescue Protection Act funds, are being dispersed now, the first allotment. And in Kent's case, they gave some to the Volunteer Fire Department for a communications upgrade, and then for the Board of Ed for some summer programs for school children.
All right, move on. And we have, and this is an interesting story, somebody that a lot of people know around here, Rory O'Connor, has teamed up with people, and the Iron Masters Inn has completed the renovations and is all set to go.
Yes, he has, with his wife and a small army of contractors, refreshed the Iron Masters Inn, and it's beginning to pick up. I think he sees a lot of core clientele from the parents of private schools and patrons of Lime Rock Park. So it's a rebirth for the Iron Masters Inn.
It's a great story, and it's great to see that active once again. Now, you've got a story there about the summer exhibit that's opening up at the Cornwall Historical Society.
Yes, this is an exhibit that's going to run all the way to October, and on Saturdays and Wednesdays. It's a free thing, and it's at the Cornwall Historical Society. There were some interested parties who really wanted to get Ann Schillinger and Ryan Bachman wanted to get the story of the Naomi Freeman and the Freeman family told. So after a lot of research, they got a grant from the Connecticut Humanities, and they also got a guest curator in the name of Frank Mitchell, and put up a really nice exhibit. Lila Hawken, our reporter, spent quite a bit of time surveying what they have there and did a lovely story.
I want to turn to something, and Janet, I'll let you take the lead on this. Anybody who knows Cynthia was absolutely shocked and devastated by the news that came out of the death of her daughter via suicide. And in your obituary section, you have an incredible obituary about this problem. I'll just let you handle this. So I know that Jill and I and everybody express our condolences to the family.
Right. Cynthia wrote her daughter's obituary, and she makes that clear. It's the most traumatic thing any human can go through, let's face it, for a parent to lose a child, and to lose that child to suicide is just devastating. And we knew Kate Honkswender from the time she was a small child, and she took part in our task at the Lakeville Journal and did things to help her mom at work, and it was just a joy to be around, and Cynthia talks about that. We have a short editorial about this as well, talking about the fact that too many families have to face this tragedy and need to go through it and find ways to cope with it. So, yeah, our hearts are with Cynthia and her friends and family at this time. And, yeah, if you know of anyone going through crisis, you know, there are no guarantees in life, but you just, you know, reach out, and that's the best you can do.
You do the best you can do, and by looking at the obituaries you wrote, so many different people in the community tried to help in their own way. This is one thing about living in a tight-knit community like this. This is a shocker to everybody, but it also shows how people do care about one another in this area. It's a nice thing about living in a small-town atmosphere.
Yeah, and I know that's a comfort to Cynthia at this time, so don't hesitate to reach out to her if you know her.
All right, moving along there, the Chores Service, this is hard to believe. I remember when it first opened. It's just turned 30 years old.
Wow, right.
Yes, and the organization was able to, now that we're in a post, well, I shouldn't say post-COVID, but we are, what maybe COVID is really gone, but they were able to have their annual summer fundraiser. And this is a service that volunteers provide help to the elderly, anyone disabled or immobile, and by helping buying groceries for them, shopping, cleaning, snow plowing, doing lawn care, and it allows the those seniors to live age in place, live in their own homes. So it's a nice story, not a long one, but they're celebrating 30 years of existence. Priscilla McCord, who's a longtime member of the board, was remembering how she herself, had needed help for her mother years ago when she was working full time.
The story about the bear ordinance in Salisbury, and I live in a community that has a lot of bears, and over the course of the past couple of years, people have really tightened up about what they do with their garbage. Myself included, I used to have bear visits almost every night. Now it's down to probably once or twice every 2 weeks. But the bear feeding ordinance is on the town agenda here in Salisbury.
Yes, and the ordinance, it will be the town special town meeting on July 7th, next Thursday, at 7 o'clock. It will be online. And this would propose a $100 fine for a first offense of feeding a bear, with additional increases if the feeding continues. But it's something that I drive into the office yesterday, and a mother and three cubs crossed right in front of me right here by the office. They're everywhere.
Yep. Absolutely. A couple more stories. We're running out of time. It's only 10 minutes left. Twin Lakes patrols, part-time trolls, are going to be back, and West Cornwall has a July 9th referendum on their sewer project.
Yes, the part-time lake patrols came out of the Twin Lakes Association was, gearing up for another summer season and really wanted to have some kind of help on noise complaints. And Curtis Rand has stepped up here, and along with what is really the resident state trooper, Will Varis, is going to, he's out of Troop B, they're going to at least make some serious effort to provide some relief. Rand also said that if the Twin Lakes Association wanted to draft an ordinance about noise and safety, he would bring it to a vote. So we'll see how this goes. In West Cornwall, they're coming up on a big vote on July 9th, a referendum to really put a sewer project in, a $6 million project. And so there was an information session held last week, and everybody turned out. There were lots of technical discussions about how they're going to do this, but it's definitely coming up for a big vote on July 9th.
All right, let's go to the editorial page and letters to the editor. You have a big editorial on Roe versus Wade, and what will the future hold next?
Right. We talk about the long history in the Supreme Court of decisions on civil rights that only three of which those decisions have ever taken away constitutional rights, and this is one of them. And so we talk about that in some depth and try to foresee where it can go, but we're all convinced that this won't be where it ends, and that's, you know, only because we're listening to what Clarence Thomas and others on the Supreme Court are saying as far as limiting the rights of Americans. So this is what we talk about, and very concerning.
Absolutely. There's just so many things that are going to develop over the... Well, we're stuck in this cycle probably for the next 25 years at least, the way things look around here. But moving to another part, once again, a bunch of letters on different topics from your readers.
Right, and we're glad to have them. Oh, boy, they're all good. But one from Barbara Mulkey,
yes,
of Lakeville is noting that she's agreeing with a letter that Mark Godburn had in the paper on June 16th. And it's fascinating because these two folks have spoken to each other on our opinion pages for years now. And I was working on putting an exhibit panel together yesterday and looking at an old Lakeville journal. And they were having a conversation back 10 years. And so it's fascinating. Do read this letter. Common ground is always good to find.
And we've got, once again, on your viewpoint pages, a bunch of different articles going from Joe Biden running or maybe you're not, affordable housing, and more.
Right. We have Mary Close Oppenheimer talking about Tully Fliakos, who is a resident of Salisbury, and she finds individual stories that really bring home the need for affordable housing for all ages in our community. It's fascinating. Do read about it. I'm sure many people know Tully. And so also we have two more letters from Tom Morrison on the Republican Town Committee being vibrant in Salisbury, and Michael Motion, a really good letter on where we are in the USA today, partisan amateurism.
And very quickly, we'll mention that Tri-Corner Real Estate is in the journal as an insert this week. Take a look at that. And also, you've got Compass.
We have got Compass, and we have a new gardening column starting this week. Dee Solomon writes about the good news surrounding spongy moth caterpillars. And we're looking forward to seeing her column on a regular basis. She asks for input from readers, so do chime in. If she writes about something you find of interest, contact her.
All right, and I guess we should, before we go, should talk, we're going to the 4th of July on Monday, so that's going to affect you as a business there at the Lakeville Journal.
Right. We have an early deadline this week, and so at noon today is the deadline for display advertising. Tomorrow is the deadline for letters to the editor and classified line advertising. That deadline is at noon tomorrow, and we will have our office closed on Monday.
All right. Well, once again, have a happy 4th, both of you, John and Janet, and we'll speak to you next week.
And both of you, have a good 4th.
Thank you.
All right, that is this week in the Lakeville Journal. TriCornerNews.com is where you can find them online. And, of course, newspapers you can pick up at various locations, and there's even home delivery as well.